Today's scripture reading is out of John chapter 10, beginning with verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, Riverdale. It is a privilege to be with you this morning. Obviously, I am not Kyle. In some ways, I wish I were. I love Kyle. I love his just the way he shepherds, which is a good starting point for us this morning as we talk about the Good Shepherd. Keep your Bibles open, if you will, to John 10. We're going to be referencing 11 through 18 a few times this morning. And before I begin, I just want to open up with this quick story. My wife and I have five kids. Our oldest is 17, just about to be 17. Our youngest is 7. And one of my favorite stages of parenting is listening to my kids form their first words, right? And unfortunately, my wife would love this, but unfortunately for me, every first word of our kids was mama. I didn't get to hear one of their first words be dada. The one child that did say dada first, I missed because I was at basic training for the Army. So I got a letter from my wife that told me, hey, this happened this morning. And of course, I wasn't there to witness it. But Everett, my youngest, his first word was mama. His second word was dada. But he had an interesting third and fourth choice for his words. His third and fourth word that we remember were just two simple, need you. Right, that was what he would say. He would look mostly at my wife, his mom, and say, need you, with his arms up, right? And I loved hearing that. I loved seeing that. And as I began to look over chapter 9 and chapter 10 of what we're going to be going over this morning, that truly is the underlying theme of what it is that takes place in these two verses. You and I need Jesus. You and I need a good shepherd. And so this morning, as we read these verses and we recap a little bit of what was talked about last week, think in your mind of neediness. We are a needed people. We need God. We need the Good Shepherd. And so if you remember last week, we talked about the I am statement of Jesus, and he stated in this rapid sequence that he is going over with the Jewish leaders, he says, I am the door, right? I am the door, essentially the gatekeeper that would lay in front of the opening of a sheepfold that would protect the sheep. And essentially what he is saying is there is no way that anyone can come to the kingdom of God lest they go through the door, which is Jesus. Right? There is no other way. There's not multiple good shepherds. There's not multiple ways. There is one way. That is the door that is Jesus. As we talked about that last week, it took place just after chapter 9, after Jesus had healed a blind man since birth, and he, Jesus, is being challenged at that healing, when that healing took place, and they even questioned the man that was healed, to the point where the Jewish leaders didn't believe that the man was blind to begin with. And so Jesus has this incredible direct response, not only to their unbelief, but he displays in these statements, these I am statements, just how needy they are. They don't even realize it. And so let's read this verse 11 through 13. And as we do, what we're going to talk about this morning is in this statement that I am the good shepherd, we see, number one, that the good shepherd protects his sheep. Number two, we see that the good shepherd is personal. And number three, we see that the good shepherd pursues his sheep. Let's read again verse 11 through 13. This is Jesus speaking, and I imagine that 9 and 10 sort of happen in one event, right? There's not a lot of layover time. This ridicule from the Jewish leadership has happened in the face of Jesus, and Jesus is directly responding to that criticism. And he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand. He cares nothing for the sheep. Again, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Being called a sheep is not necessarily a compliment. There is no mistaking that Jesus uses this language on purpose. Jewish leadership, those rabbis, those people in the Jewish covenants, they would have understood the leadership and those who are over people of the Jewish faith, a shepherd. Right? These people are certainly familiar with Psalm 23 and the psalmist David and his account of Jesus or God as the shepherd. Right? He is my shepherd, I shall not want. They would have been familiar with this language. And so Jesus is answering the very people that esteem themselves as shepherd, stating that I am the ultimate good shepherd. It is a direct criticism to their criticism of Jesus in a way that only he can do, right? The great orator that was Jesus and is Jesus. All right, but you and I being called sheep, I hope this morning that the more and more I say that, you can consider yourself like David. That is a boast for you and I. To consider Jesus to be the good shepherd and for me to ultimately need every part of Jesus, there's nothing I can do apart from him, is a boast in Jesus, not a dig at us as sheep. It is a boast in Jesus. And so sheep are fully reliant on the shepherd. Right? They're not considered smart. They're not considered intelligent. If it weren't for a shepherd, they wouldn't be led, they wouldn't be fed, and they wouldn't be protected. Now, it's important to understand the fold because Jesus alludes to this again towards the end of this verses that we're reading today. And the fold that he's talking about would have been sections within an area that may have been built up with rocks. It may have been wood in some locations, but there was no gate. Again, reminder that Jesus is the gatekeeper. He is the shepherd that lays across that opening and protects. But there were multiple folds around an area. But these multiple folds would hold and house multiple herds of sheep, not just the sheep from one shepherd, but the sheep from multiple shepherds. Right? And so Jesus is contrasting himself here from a bad shepherd who he is looking at directly and telling the Jewish leaders, you are the bad shepherd, okay? And the contrast is that he is the good shepherd, right? He's calling them the hired hand that would allow the enemy to come in and kill and destroy. And he places himself as the ultimate protector of his sheep. Right, so Jesus, the good shepherd, he stays, he cares for the flock, whereas the hired hand who has no investment in these sheep are out at the first sign of danger. And I think we would be missed if we didn't talk about the fact that you and I, from the good shepherd, have been purchased. The hired hand who has no monetary investment in these, why would he risk his life? But Jesus, the good shepherd, has bought you with the ultimate price. So Jesus, the good shepherd, he stays and he cares. He's purchased you and I. And this statement that he lays down his life for the sheep. In a few weeks, we're getting ready to celebrate that very statement. And at the end of this, we see that there's authority to not just lay down his life, but to take up his life again. And as we celebrate that, even this morning, a few weeks before Easter, to think and consider that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has first and foremost purchased each and every one of us. His investment is full. Full investment of you and me through his death on the cross. This has to be one of the greatest truths in all of Scripture. Jesus did not die as a martyr. Jesus did not die at the hands of humans. Jesus willingly gave up his life for you and for me. You were on his mind. You were on his heart. He knew exactly what he was called to do. Societal norms would often tell us that the sheep exist to benefit the shepherd. Right? Traditionally, if I keep a herd of sheep, I want them for something. Their wool, meat, right? And then even in biblical times, the need to have sheep for sacrifice. So the societal norm is that as a shepherd, what can I gain from the sheep? And as Jesus is addressing the Jewish leadership, he flips this on its head. It's not about what the sheep can offer you. It is about what I, the good shepherd, can offer the sheep. Right? You and I don't have anything to give to Jesus. Jesus doesn't need you, but how comforting is it to know that the good shepherd wants you? And so Jesus flips this on its head. It's not about what the sheep can offer the shepherd. It is about everything that the shepherd has to offer the sheep. And if you go back one verse, we see what the good shepherd offers the sheep. Verse 10. The thief comes. Those are the ones that would come to steal sheep, and these hired hands are fleeing. They're not staying around to protect. The thief comes and steals, kills, and destroys, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now, unfortunately, this word abundantly has been miscued in a lot of Western churches. So many churches around us teach abundant life is wrapped up in the monetary blessings that God gives. Okay, this is not at all what Scripture is pointing to. You and I having the ability to claim abundant life solely in Jesus Christ comes not in monetary blessing. It comes in the fullness and freedom of life in Christ. That is what it means to have abundant life. It has nothing to do with the car you drive, the house you live in. It has everything to do with full freedom and the fullness of life experienced solely through the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. And I don't know if you've remembered your life before Christ, but now that you have surrendered your life to Christ, for those of you in this room that have, is there not so much more freedom and fullness in your life? It doesn't mean that life's going to come easy. It doesn't mean there's not going to be struggles and heartaches. It doesn't mean there's not going to be sickness and cancer and death and those things are not around us. But when we see abundant life as just being about the blessings in our bank account, and if we're healthy, we miss the true abundant life that is found only in Christ. And that truly is that God calls us to be burdenless, to lay our entire burden, our every need at the feet of Jesus, and he will be faithful to supply that need. That is ultimately the abundant life. And that doesn't come easy. It's not natural for us. We want to carry our own burdens. We want to take care, especially the men in here. We're called to be protectors. So we want to do these things for our family. We want to house and be the one that carries them. But guess what? The Bible explicitly tells us you and I cannot do that. In order for us to carry the burdens of our family, we have to take them to the feet of Jesus. To experience the abundant life that Jesus is referencing right here in verse 10. Is first and foremost to surrender your life fully to Jesus. And then the fullness and the freedom that solely comes from Christ that gives you and I abundant life. Secondly, this good shepherd is personal. Now, I don't know about you, but this is really good news. That Jesus himself, the good shepherd, is personal. Let's read verse 14 and 15. He says again, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I again lay down my life for the sheep. This has to be comforting in the day and age in which you and I live. A few years ago, my wife and I got a phone call from Wells Fargo, and they said, hey, your information's been in a data leak. We need you to cancel every card you have, and you've got to basically, you know, start over, new credit cards, new debit cards, all that. And I don't know if you've ever experienced identity theft or the thought that this could happen, but it's pretty unsettling, right? The idea that somebody else would have access to personal things and personal bank accounts and all of that. And as I read this and I think about society and where we are right now with identity, right? Identity is such a hot topic in our culture. Identity and the philosophy, the four great questions of philosophy, the very one that ranks at the very top is who are you? Followed by a close second, which is where did you come from? Well, isn't it good news to know that both of those questions can be answered right here? That you and I, first and foremost, our identity is in Christ. Experiencing the fullness and the abundantness of life in Christ, our identity solely lies as believers in Christ, with Christ. And then secondly, we belong to Him. In a world who doesn't know who they are to the point where they question their gender, this has to be comforting to the believer. That you and I don't have to question who we are or whose we are. Identity is a major concern in the culture that we're in. But this verse reminds us, in this view of Jesus, that tells us that we are fully known by Jesus. We are known by the Good Shepherd. Now, in Western culture, those people that are still herding sheep in Western culture don't necessarily lead their sheep. They drive their sheep. So they'll have dogs that they'll call, and these dogs will round up sheep and get them through the chute like they're supposed to go. That's not the way mostly in the Eastern part of the world, where they still practice shepherding the old-fashioned way. And the old-fashioned way, again, these sheep folds that they would have with multiple herds in them, as a shepherd comes up in the morning to gather his sheep out of the gate, he just simply calls his sheep. They know his voice. They've grown up with his voice. And as these sheep walk out of the fold and he's looking at them, he can distinguish his sheep simply by the way they look. He knows every blemish. He knows every mark. He knows their size. He knows their personalities. That is what Jesus is alluding to here. He knows everything about you. There's nothing that you can do this morning that's going to hide anything about who you are from Jesus. He knows everything. He knows every blemish. He knows every mark. The Bible tells us that He knit us together. He made every fiber go into place where it should. He connected every part of your brain and every part of your being. And He knows you better than you know yourself. That has to be comforting in a world today that doesn't know who they are. You and I can rest assured we know exactly who we are. We know exactly who we belong to. But you know what's also comforting to some, but also unnerving to others, is that He doesn't just know our physical self. He knows our nature. That Jesus is fully aware of the nature of humanity. The Bible sums up the nature of humanity as these three things: the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh. That is the human nature. The sin nature, which you and I are born into, separated from God, is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And for those who have not surrendered their life to Jesus, to come to know a good shepherd that wants to forgive you of the sin in your life, it's unnerving. But for those of us in this room who have surrendered to Jesus, it's got to be the most comforting thing to stand before you, or to stand before anybody, and say, I am forgiven, not of my own accord, not of anything that I've done, but because the Good Shepherd laid down His life for me. I am fully forgiven. I can experience abundance of life. Amen. He knows not only the physical nature of you, the physical appearance. He knows your nature. And our nature is so needing of a Good Shepherd. If you look at Psalm 23 briefly, we're all familiar with this psalm. But as David is uttering these words, you know, think about all that David had experienced in his life. To look at a psalm that David would write and be humble enough to claim himself as a sheep and God as a shepherd is pretty fascinating in and of itself. But number two, what I appreciate is that within the words of this psalm, he talks about how he cares for those whom God knows. He leads to pastures. He leads by water. He leads through valleys. There's a commentator that I was reading as I was preparing for this sermon, and I love the way he sums up Psalm 23. It's found in the first verse and the last verse. So if you could sum up all of Psalm 23, which is not very long, but you can sum it up with, I shall not want all the days of my life. Can you imagine that? If you're in here today and you have placed your faith, trust, and belief in Jesus, it's more than imagining it. It is truth. I shall not want all the days of my life. God, who knows me, provides everything I could ever need. More than what I want, he provides everything that I need. I was sharing with the team, and I'll be really brief about this, but I was sharing with the team this morning. It's been a weird couple of weeks for me. 4 weeks ago, I went into an MRI scan, had no clue. The next day, got a phone call. I had to go back for blood work because there was a mass in my knee that they needed to figure out what it was. And so I went in, again, not knowing anything about this. I just went in and had the blood work done. And as I went back to the doctor awaiting the results of my blood work, it started becoming apparent what they were looking for. They were looking for cancer. And some of you in here have had that diagnosis. Some of you in here have relatives or loved ones that have had that diagnosis. And all the fear and all the things that come with something like that looming over your head, it was pretty daunting. So I don't believe it was by mistake that just a few days after learning that I would hear, hey, we're going to tag you to preach at Riverdale, and this is going to be the message. And so I went and I began reading this message and thought, thank you, Lord. To think about Psalm 23, to think about Christ as the good shepherd that knows everything that I need, I'm thankful for the timing of that. I needed this reminder, and I'm thankful to say yesterday I got the final result back from a bone biopsy that it is cancer-free, praise the Lord. But this morning I am reminded of the good shepherd that simply has every single thing that you and I could ever need. First and foremost, for you, the sinner, he has forgiveness and grace and mercy. And for those of us who have been forgiven and are believers, he has more grace and more mercy because we're not going to be sinless after coming to know the Lord. He also has everything you need physically, spiritually, and everything in between. And lastly, to this point, I find one more thing incredible, is that the God who so intimately knows me, the good shepherd who knows everything about me, not just my physical traits, but my spiritual needs, my physical needs, everything about me, and also invites me to know him. What a good shepherd that he would invite me to know him. Remember, the shepherds could call out to their sheep and they knew exactly who he was. In the busyness of this culture, we, even the Christian, has a hard time truly knowing God because we've given ourselves into everything else. We give ourselves to Netflix shows. We give ourselves to social media. We give ourselves to even friends, which are not a bad thing. But sometimes the very thing that needs to be at the forefront of our lives takes a back seat. But God says, you have an opportunity. I know you. I long for you to know me. He longs for us to know him. And I don't know if that's possible if we don't set aside the things that are so distracting and we pick up scripture. The voice of God is found in the word of God. If you're not reading it, you don't know God. What a privilege it is to pick this book up and read it and know God, the voice of God. I'm thankful this morning that he knows me. I'm thankful this morning that he's personal and he invites you and I to know him. And then lastly, and perhaps even more comforting than everything else, is that the good shepherd pursues his sheep. Let's read again, verse 16. He says, I have sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, so that there will be one flock, one shepherd. Now, your translation may say one fold there. I think flock is a better word here to use, and we're going to go through that and why that is. But this, again, this is so comforting. Jesus was a Jewish, he was a practicing Jew. He knew the difference in the Jewish culture and Gentiles, those who were outside of the Jewish covenant. But you also see Jesus, a fully practicing Jew, go to a Samaritan woman. Not only in society is that not normal because it's a Samaritan, it was also a woman. And Jesus breaks all kind of cultural norms. He does it throughout his ministry. And I believe in his mind, he knew all the while that this conversation was going to come up with a Jewish leadership that didn't want anything to do with any side outside of the Jewish covenants. But thank God for you and I, Jesus wanted everything to do with those outside of the Jewish covenant. And so the door is now not just those sheep who are Jewish, it is for every single person. The availability of Christ is for every single person. It's interesting to hear right now the kind of the back voice of society talk about the exclusivity of Christianity as a bad thing. I need to tell you, the exclusivity only lies in the singleness of the one and only Good Shepherd. That is the exclusivity of Christianity. It is one way to eternal life. That is Jesus Christ, him crucified, him resurrected. That is the only way. But it is not exclusive to who it is available to. Christianity, to know Jesus, to be like Christ, to be like-minded with God, to be fully forgiven and have abundant life is available for every person. And Jesus says that in this statement. I have a lot of folds. There's a lot of folds. This morning, we're not the only church meeting. There are a lot of folds holding service this morning. Jesus is available to every fold. And when you and I become a part of that, we are now a part of one flock. I am so thankful that the Good Shepherd does not separate us based off of how new we are in believers. It's pretty incredible to know that according to Scripture, the moment you place your faith, your trust, your belief in Jesus, you're not given a portion of anything. You are given the fullness of God, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and the fullness of a life forgiven. There's nothing held back from you and me. And so the Good Shepherd says, look, there is going to be a lot of folds, but there is one flock, and that one flock can only come through one Good Shepherd. Jesus did not lay down his life for a small sect of people. Jesus died for an entire lost world. And it is his desire that those of us in the flock, you and I as believers, would take that very message to those who do not believe. It is a bold claim, but it's an honest claim. Jesus, the door, the only way, is also the Good Shepherd. He leads. He protects, he feeds, he cares. And lastly, as we look just a few weeks away from now, Easter is on the horizon. Easter is the Super Bowl Sunday for Christians. But more importantly than all of the things that come with Easter is the person at the center of it. All of these things are made possible because Jesus willingly gave his life for you and for me. And I love that he talks about taking up his life again. To me, this is an example of the ultimate authority that lies solely with the Good Shepherd in Christ. Let's look at verse 18 as we wrap up. Jesus, after saying that I lay my life down, tells them, no one takes it from me. This is the reminder again, Jesus is not a martyr. Jesus was not killed at the hands of humans. No one took his life. When he considered you enough to die for. He says, no one takes it from me. I lay down of my own accord. And then here, what we celebrate at Easter, I have authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it up. This charge I have received from my Father. Not an easy charge. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, 24 hours before he would be crucified, is sweating blood. And yet at the end of his prayer, he realized the charge and he surrenders his will to the Father and willingly goes to the cross to give freely of his life. Now, this is what we call a substitution. This is the death that you and I deserve. The Bible is very clear on this. The wages of all sin is death, eternal separation from God. And God says, I long to know you. I want you to know me as the good shepherd. So I'm going to give you a way to know me and surrender my son Jesus, who will willingly give himself on the cross for you. But not only will he die on that cross, he will have authority to take up his life again, defeat all sin, defeat all death, so that you and I may have a relationship with God. The substitute death for us was followed by his victorious resurrection. And so in a few weeks, when we have an opportunity to celebrate, we've encouraged you over the last few weeks to invite a friend, invite someone who doesn't know the Good Shepherd. This morning, we have an opportunity to take communion, and in a moment, Joe's going to come up here and lead us through that. And I want you to think, first and foremost, as a reflection of your own life, you are taking a sacred moment to remember what Christ willingly did for you and for me. But also, I ask you to pray for those people that don't know the Lord, to come here on Easter Sunday and hear the truth that they are loved by a God who mercifully gave us Jesus on the cross. And perhaps you're here today and you haven't made this decision, and you're still carrying around the burden, you're still carrying around the weight of your own sin, and Jesus, this morning, the Good Shepherd, knows you. He knows your burden and he cares. You can surrender all of that to him this morning. And if you do that, we would love to talk to you. I'm going to invite Joe up, and while I do, we're going to pray, and then we're going to take communion. Father, this morning, what an incredible story of how you spoke of yourself to religious leaders who just didn't get it. God, they thought they knew better. But this morning, in these scriptures, we are reminded that there is an exclusivity to following God, and that is solely in who gives forgiveness and who gives eternal life. And it is through Jesus only, his death, his resurrection. I can't be good enough. I can't make good enough decisions. There's nothing I can do. But God, the Good Shepherd willingly laid down his life for his sheep. And this morning, there may be one in here who has yet to place his faith or her faith and belief in you. And I ask this morning that your Spirit would lead them in boldness to come into a relationship with you through Jesus on the cross. And as we get ready to take communion, God, I pray that we wouldn't do it without thinking and without pondering exactly what it is that it means to follow Jesus, who gave his life for me. God, we are thankful this morning that we have a good shepherd. We pray these things in your name. Amen.